Hello and welcome to the United Community Channel. My name is Jack and this is your latest Manchester United news and plenty to talk about on this Monday morning. First and foremost, the injury pile-up continues for Manchester United as it looks like another defender is going to be out missing. If you can see the thumbnail in the YouTube video, you know exactly who we're talking about, so we'll get into that. Does it mean that we're going to have maybe an early return for the likes of Lisandro Martinez? We are looking for players to come back and be fit, especially in the defence. So we'll talk about that as well. I also want to talk a little bit about a potential centre-back target that Manchester United are looking at from Boca Juniors in South America. A young defender, 18 years of age. We'll discuss that a little bit as well. It's all about defenders today. We're going to discuss a little bit about Terrell Malacia as some reports are coming out suggesting why he hasn't returned to the Manchester United squad yet. As we know, he's been missing pretty much the entirety of the season. And we're also going to talk a little bit as well about Jim Ratcliffe's plans to turn Old Trafford into a 100,000-seater stadium, which would be absolutely massive for the north of England and for Manchester United, of course. But before that, guys, please do smash a like on the video. As always, hit subscribe if you're new to the channel and get your comments into the comment section below. We'll go through any of your comments as well, as interactive as possible. We'll make the video. But we're going to jump straight into it, guys, and we're going to start with Harry Maguire. Obviously, he's on international duty at the moment with England. Well, he was up until yesterday. It does look like Harry Maguire has left the England camp after being sent for a scan following the defeat against Brazil. He has been ruled out of Tuesday's friendly against Belgium. Now, this is unwanted news from Manchester United's standpoint and from the fans' perspective, because we know how short we've been at centre-back throughout the entirety of this season, it has to be said. And now, look, we have seen over the past few weeks Varane and Johnny Evans have been putting in a good centre-back partnership with one another. And Harry Maguire has only just come back from injury as well. He has played relatively well this season when he has played for Manchester United. And you know, there was a lot of criticism on the back of last year and the past couple of seasons, but he stayed very professional and he has turned his form around more than anything else. I don't think he's going to, you know, turn his long-term future at Manchester United around on the back of some good performances. I still do think it's probably time to move him on, but it was a welcome return when he did come back to the squad a few weeks ago, because obviously we've been short and you're looking at, obviously, Varane is over the age of 30 now. Johnny Evans is in his latter 30s, in his late 30s. So, you know, you can't expect these types of players to play week in, week out. Varane maybe so, but we know he's injury prone as well. But Johnny Evans especially, you can't be expecting him to play 90 minutes three times a week, twice a week, three times in 10 days, whatever the case may be. So Harry Maguire returning to the squad a few weeks ago was, you know, it was wanted, it was needed. And given the fact that he had played well this season, I think the majority of Manchester United fans were happy that he did return. Now, again, look, I mean, when we're talking about Harry Maguire, I mean, he is over the age of 30 now. And is he starting to get a little bit injury prone? That's the concern. He's had a number of injuries this season. And, you know, I think it's something that does have to come into the conversation here as well. We speak about Varane, for example, as being injury prone. He's over the age of 30, getting knocks and small injuries maybe that are keeping him out for extended periods of time. Harry Maguire this season has been falling into that category. He's getting a couple of injuries now, and it does have to come into the conversation. And he does fall into that category maybe of a player that you have to look at as potentially being injury prone. Now, I think when we're talking about this, I think it's mainly down to the fact of moving Harry Maguire on. And obviously, the main conversation around why we want to move him on over the past two seasons is because he's probably not good enough to get Manchester United back challenging for major trophies, your Premier Leagues and your Champions Leagues. But now we're also bringing this into the scenario where, all right, he's picking up a few knocks, and that is not going to help him in terms of potentially staying at Manchester United long term. Oisin is in. He says, you said it during the watch along Saturday. What's the point in these March internationals? If it's not a qualifier, then clubs should not be obligated to release players. Look at the French rugby. They continue picking internationals during Six Nations. Yeah, there we go. And yeah, I completely agree. I think I think unless it is, and look, I do understand that it's FIFA are going to be, wanting to have the best players playing even in the international friendly. So I don't think it would ever be a scenario where clubs would get the overarching decision on whether players are released or not, especially for international friendlies. But I do think it could be a very good conversation to have. All right, if you're playing a qualification game, no problem. You international teams can pick who they want and take who they want. But I think, like Oisin says there, if it is going to be an international friendly and we're not looking at important games at all, then I think clubs are well within the right to keep players back, especially the big clubs. Not especially the big clubs. I think it should be the same for everybody. You've got clubs that are fighting relegation that might have players going on international duty, top four, challenging for league titles, So I certainly do agree. But look, however, Harry Maguire being missing, it's a double-edged sword, in my opinion, because we're obviously losing Harry Maguire if he is going to be missing for another few games. Now, we haven't heard what the diagnosis or the prognosis is going to be if he is going to miss the games on the weekend for Manchester United. He is obviously out of the England game against Belgium. But it's a double-edged sword, because is that going to mean Manchester United are going to rush this guy back? Because obviously he's been away training with Argentina on international duty, and Manchester United were happy to allow him to do that, to get some high-intensity training. But we spoke last week that Lisandro Martinez potentially is going to be back for the game against Brentford on the weekend. And I said specifically, I didn't want him to be rushed back, because we've done that already this season and we've seen a reoccurrence of his injury. He subsequently got a different injury then that's kept him out for this extended period of time. But Lisandro Martinez has cut short his stay in the United States and will return to England on Saturday, which was yesterday, I think, was it? To fully prepare for the match against Brentford, 2 days ago, where he hopes to make his return. That's coming out from Simon Jones in the Mail. And the Manchester Evening News have reported this morning that Lisandro Martinez is likely to return to Carrington to train this week with the Manchester United squad. So again, there we go. He is going to be back, and I've no problem with him being back training. That's no issue there. I just don't want him to be rushed back. We spoke last week on, the importance of the games coming up. We've got Brentford on the weekend. We go into a Chelsea game midweek then next week, and we've got Liverpool, I think 3 or 4 days later than the following Saturday or Sunday, I think it is. So Lisandro Martinez coming back is vital. I don't want to downplay the Brentford game, but I would rather rest him for the Brentford game and make sure he's ready to go for Chelsea and Liverpool. I mean, the Chelsea game holds, I'm not going to say more importance, but I think there's more pressure on Manchester United to get 3 points in the Chelsea game probably than there is in the Liverpool game, given how poor Chelsea have been this season. I think there's more expectation maybe on United to get 3 points than there is against Liverpool. Now, again, we went and knocked Liverpool out of the cup, and they're going to be gunning for blood as well. So it's going to be a massive game, and I'm not downplaying it whatsoever. But both of them games are vitally important. I've said it before, leave him out of the Brentford game. Maybe have him on the bench and only play him if you need him. Bench him for the Chelsea game and make sure he's right for that Liverpool game. Or even, maybe get some minutes. I would potentially even start him in the Chelsea game. Get some minutes, or bring him on if you need him, and get him ready for that Liverpool game, which will be Sunday week, I think. Sunday week, And I think that would give him ample time. Neverworld says, our injury list was long enough without Slabhead having a chip out of him. Oisin says, I'd play Varane and Evans versus Brentford. Give Butcher 60 minutes versus Chelsea. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Stick Lindelof and Evans at centre-half for Brentford. We cannot put Licha in before he's ready. Yeah, I mean, look, obviously Lindelof is available as well, and I think that frees up Lindelof to play centre-back. The fact that we've got Aaron Wan-Bissaka back and available as well to play a full-back, there are more options there now at the moment as well. Did I read Bruno left Portugal early too? I didn't hear that. Maybe, did he? I'm not 100% sure. Forgot about Varane and Evans, as Oisin said. And Liam says, give us your ideal summer ins and outs, more importantly outs. We'll do that in a later video, Liam. I do have some ideas on on doing that. Obviously, we tend to do that at the end of the season, but for now, we'll stick to the news that's happening at the moment. But look, I mean, when it comes to defenders, centre backs specifically, I don't think it's a bad thing if it's one out, one in. If Harry Maguire is going to be missing and it's going to be Lisandro Martinez back, then okay. But the one thing I don't want is Lisandro Martinez to be rushed back, re-aggravate maybe an injury that he may have for the sake of playing against Brentford. Like I said before, I would like to see Lisandro Martinez back on the bench maybe against Brentford. Only use him if you really need to. Play him against Chelsea, maybe 60 minutes, get some game time into his legs, and then he's ready to play against Liverpool then on the weekend. And I think that's the ideal scenario. We know it doesn't always work out like that, but I think if we could not have to use him for the Brentford game, get minutes into his legs against Chelsea, he's raring to go then for the Liverpool game and Old Trafford then on the weekend, then I think that's the ideal scenario for everybody involved. Let's see. Moving it on then, guys. I do want to talk a little bit while we're on the centre-back topic. I want to talk about a player that Manchester United are being linked with. Now, I will 100% say I know absolutely nothing about this player. But Manchester United intend to sign Boca Junior centre-back Aaron Anselmino, whatever, 18 years of age, and then loan him out. The player has a release clause of £17.2 million sterling. Different reports are suggesting the same thing. Planet Boca, who are very accurate when it comes to Ani Boca Jr.'s news. Manchester United, again, are determined to sign the centre-back. United's intention is to buy him, loan him to another team in Europe to adapt. Now, this is what we've been talking about for the last couple of months, ever since the whole Jim Ratcliffe coming in and you know, getting in a director of football with Dan Ashworth and Omar Berada and whoever else it may be that are behind the scenes. These are the kind of deals that we're talking about getting done. You know, not going out and spending massive money on already established players. That it's future planning and it's getting these young, talented footballers into Manchester United at an early stage for very, very good money. And loaning them out and letting them get first team experience with whoever it may be, a Benfica or a Sevilla, you know, or a Monaco or you know, or even, you know, like we were saying there, you know, the French League, obviously, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, owner of, the name eludes me, but this is what we're talking about. We're talking about getting young players in under the radar, under first or second professional contracts, who are hungry, looking to learn, looking to improve. We go all the way back to Ralph Rangnick and what he said about this, you know, to build a team around up-and-coming young players that will give you consistently good talent coming through in years to come down the line. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And £17.2 million for a supposedly very, very good centre-back up-and-coming is absolute. It's an absolute bargain. It really is. And these are the types of deals that Manchester United need to be looking at. Now, I'm not saying we're never going to go out and sign 50, 60, 70 million pound players. Absolutely not. I still think that is going to be part of Manchester United's transfer policy going forward and identifying good players that are within them price ranges. But you need to be supplementing the squad with these good up-and-coming young players who, and it will take time for this to come to fruition. You're talking 2, 3, maybe 4 years. If you're signing 18-year-olds now, to get them ready and available for the first team squad when they're 21, 22 years of age, it's going to take a few years. It really is. But once you get the ball rolling on that and you continue to do that, then it's a never-ending cycle of having these really good players coming through. You know, they're out on loan, they're getting first team experience, you bring them back, you drip feed them into the first team squad, and then, you know, by the time they're 21, 22 years of age, they're ready to take the role of whatever position that they're in. And this is how good footballing teams operate, you know. And the sooner Manchester United can do that, the better. Oisin says, £17.2 million is pocket change. Hopefully start of Ineos view on transfers. Hopefully not to become a selling club. Absolutely, absolutely. And look, I have no problem with Manchester United selling players you know, we've heard reports before that Alejandro Garnacho, for example, wants to play for Real Madrid at some stage in his career. He basically wants to follow the path of Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, is he ever going to be that good? It'd be very, very difficult. If he could get to, you know, half the heights that Cristiano Ronaldo did, then brilliant. Now, Manchester United need to be very strategic around it. I mean, Garnacho is, what is he, 19 years of age at the moment? 19, 20, something like that. So you could easily get 5, 6, 7 more years out of him before you move him on, and he's still in his prime. But Manchester United is selling players. I've no problem with that if other teams want them. But it has to be part of the whole strategic future of United in terms of transfers. And you don't want to get taken to the cleaners either when it comes to selling your best players. We've moved Cristiano Ronaldo on, and at the time it was a world record transfer. Is that going to be something that we need to do again in the future? Do I see Garnacho as a lifelong Manchester United player? I don't. I really don't. He looks like the type of player that wants to play for different clubs, even at this young age. However, I'm not, you know, I'm not jumping the gun here. We're going to get an awful lot of years of top quality performances out of Garnacho, hopefully, and hopefully he's involved in some major success before he does leave the club. But Manchester United's future planning, when we're talking about buying young players in, the likes of this young lad from Boca Juniors, you know, you're going to be able to maybe sell one or two of them in the future for big money if they do want to leave. But as long as that conveyor belt continues to roll along, Manchester United will absolutely be fine, in my opinion. They really will. Garnacho reports, source Ben and Chris. Yeah, there we go. Two fuckers. I want to move on, guys, a little bit and talk about Terrell Malacia. Now, obviously, Malacia has been out of action for Manchester United all season. We haven't seen him at all. He got injured in pre-season, and there's been some setbacks to his rehabilitation when it comes to the injury. And reports have come out from multiple sources over the weekend that Terrell Malacia is struggling with physical and mental health problems. Now, again, all you can do when it comes to a situation like this is wish him the best, you know, when it comes to recovery. And you don't like to see anybody struggling. You know, is one causing the other? You know, obviously, comes to Manchester United, had a pretty good season last year, you would have to say. You know, for the majority of the season, he played second fiddle to Luke Shaw. But I think he done really good when he did play for United last year. And to get an injury like that and keep him out of the squad for so long, it does have to be draining on you. It probably, like when you're training in the gym away from the first team squad on your own, maybe with an individual coach or a physio to try and get you back to full health, and then you get setbacks, you know, that lengthen the time that you're going to spend out and away from the first team. It would have a drain on your mental health. I'm sure it would. And you know, different people react differently to setbacks like that. So it is very disappointing that Malacia has missed so much time, because he would have played an awful lot of games this year if he had stayed, if he hadn't got this injury, given the amount of time that Luke Shaw has spent on the injury table as well. So all we can do is wish him the best and hope he comes back, you know, fit and strong. But it does beg the question, you know, do Manchester United need to go back into the transfer window in the summer for a left-back? We've been seeing reports about it in the past few weeks. I mentioned it a couple of months ago that, you know, now I was putting a time frame of the next maybe 18 months to 2 years that will probably go into the transfer market, because I was very happy with the Luke Shaw as left-back and Malacia as a backup. I think it worked really, really well. I think Malacia plays well as that backup. But the issue is, Luke Shaw is starting to pick up a lot of injuries as well. We're seeing him, you know, turning into, I hate using the word injury prone, obviously with Harry Maguire, we mentioned a few minutes ago as well. I hate using the word injury prone. The fact that Luke Shaw has got so many injuries this season, and Malacia has missed out on so many, he's missed the entirety of the season, I think Manchester United have to go into the market for a left-back in the summer. I really do. I think you can't go into another season hoping that Luke Shaw will stay fit. Now, I'm sure Malacia is not turning into an injury-prone player. He's young, and it's a setback to the same injury that he has since the start of the season. But you can't take a chance on this. I see Manchester United going into the market in the summer for a left-back. Whether that be a backup to Luke Shaw, I don't think I would want that. I think we need to go into the transfer market and sign a left-back that will challenge Luke Shaw over the next 2-3 years, whatever it may be. Now, it may be the case that Luke Shaw continues to pick up injuries over the next couple of seasons. If that's the case, then we have to lose the sentimentality and say, okay, he's a fantastic footballer when he's fully fit, but he's not fully fit enough. Time to move him on. So I think we do need to go into the transfer market for an established left-back that can really challenge Luke Shaw and take full control of that left-back spot if he's the only one that's available. Who that may be, that remains to be seen over the coming weeks and months. But I think that left-back spot is a real area of concern, and it's one hopefully that Manchester United are looking at the moment to improve in the summer, because I think we need big improvement there. I really do. Let's see. Let's see what people are saying here. Oisin says, seems like a good kid, plenty of time ahead of him. Football is football. It'll always be there. Needs to get himself right and happy, and hopefully United stand by him and support him. Couldn't agree more. Neverworld says, a left back wouldn't be a bad pick. Honestly, the only two replacements, Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Shaw, are injury prone, and we can't play week to week hoping nothing happens to either or both of them. Yeah, absolutely. That's the big concern more than anything else, isn't it? Finally, guys, before we finish up, I do want to mention a report coming out of the Daily Mail today from Mike Keegan suggesting that Sir Jim Ratcliffe has mentioned 100,000 as a potential capacity for a new Old Trafford, and would appear Manchester United have already have people on the case who can make that work. Oh, look at that for service. A lovely little
new recipe.
Let me know. New recipe. A new baked scone dropped into me. But yeah, 100,000 capacity for a potential new stadium at Manchester United, and there's people already working on it. Look, I mean, it would be absolutely fantastic, and I think it's well within Manchester United's capacity. I think we should be close to that at the moment already. I think if we didn't have the Glazers, I mean, you look at the Sir Bobby Charlton stand, it's only got one tier. You could easily bring that up to another, to a second tier above that. And I think United could already be close to 100,000 capacity as we speak. But I think, again, the debate rolls on and whether it's going to be a new stadium or whether it's going to be a refurbishment of Old Trafford. To be honest with you, the more I listen to Jim Ratcliffe, after doing a few interviews now, the more I listen to him when he talks about it, I think he wants a new stadium. He wants a brand new stadium there. And then the question rolls out about, what do we do with Old Trafford? Do we leave it, maybe downsize it, and use it as the women's or the women's and the youth's team? And I think that would be the right thing to do with it, because at the moment, the women's team and the youth team, they've got we're renting a different ground for them to play in, which is absolutely disgraceful given the size of a club of Manchester United, and another tick on the Glazer out box, But yeah, I mean, the debate rolls on. I said myself personally, I think probably a new stadium is the way to go. I would have no problem with Old Trafford being renovated. Absolutely no issue with that at all. And I'm happy with whatever happens. But it is something that needs to be done, and needs to be done quickly. But it looks like Manchester United are going to be doing it. And over now, it's going to take years. We're talking probably 5 years down the line before something like this could happen and actually get done. But the fact that it's, the fact that it's happening at the moment, it can only be a good thing. Finn says, any truth in this talk of United being banned from Europe over the dual club ownership bullshit? That was something that was mentioned a few months ago as well, Finn, when Jim Ratcliffe was taken over initially. I don't think it's going to be a concern. I think there are people working on it in the background. I don't see it as being an issue. Now, we have to get into Europe first before we really start worrying about that. I'm sure it wouldn't be a concern. Reports initially when Jim Ratcliffe was being interested in or was being touted as being a potential owner of Manchester United the reports were saying that he would be willing to actually, you know, hand over or sell on his shares in Nice to, you know, to stop that. I don't know. But again, we'll have to look at that down the line when it does occur. Put money into the first team. No point being the Northern Spurs. Great stadium, but poor squad. Yeah, look, and I think that's something that can be done. Jewel, I think you can do that side by side, Oisin. I don't think putting money and buying a new and building a new stadium is going to hamper, you know, the process of rebuilding the squad either. You know, and I think if that was the case, then, you know, I think it's squad first over stadium. Absolutely, I do, because if you've got a squad that's winning games and winning trophies, generates more money, then, you know, you can reinvest that money into a squad and stuff like that. I'm heading down the middle of next year to walk around it again before it's no longer there, says Neverworld. But guys, look, we'll leave it there. I do appreciate everybody watching. Smash a like on the video if you haven't done so already. As you know, it helps the channel out an awful lot. Quick thumbs up on your way out. If you're new to the channel, do hit the subscribe button as well. We're absolutely flying it. We're about 800 subscribers away from 10,000, which was brilliant considering we were about 2,500 away literally a week ago. So the subscriber count has absolutely gone through the roof in the last week or so, which is absolutely fantastic, and I'm really delighted with it. So to any of the new subscribers, you're more than welcome. I'm really delighted that you're here. Get in and join the lives as much as you can. We go live every weekday morning at 9:30 and then in the evenings at 8 o'clock as well. So great opportunity for everybody to jump in. If you're new, say hello, get involved in the chat. It's a very open and welcoming little community that we have here, and one that we're continuing to try and build. So smash a like in the video, hit subscribe if you're new. Like I said, I'll be back tonight. Or will I be back tonight? I've got a game myself. I think I will be back from 8 o'clock tonight. But keep an eye out. Turn on the bell notification. Turn on notifications if you haven't already done so. No merch mention. Yeah, we've got merchandise as well, guys. Link is in the description of the video. We've got some new designs up there as well. A couple of really good ones that I like. We've got a Cobby Mainoo one. And then we've got the Youth Trinity, which is Mainoo, Highland and Garnacho. Go check them out. Like I said, link is in the description. If you like any of them, you know, go and pick up a t-shirt or a hoodie or whatever. It supports the channel an awful lot. But thanks for watching, guys. Have a great day, and I'll chat to you this evening. Take care.